meeting to order, please. Annette, can I please get a roll call?
Kurt Olsted. Kurt?
Here.
Okay. Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Daugherty. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis. Robert Holtway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Paul Richka.
Here.
Jim Ryan.
Here.
Michael Sabatich.
Here.
Michael T. Fang.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Please read the Open Public Meetings statement.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Can you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First of all, Happy New Year to everyone.
And to you.
Thank you. First order of business is approval of minutes. We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis. Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
And Chairman Robert.
Yes. Takes us to the chairman's report. One of the items I was going to speak out on is actually ended up on the agenda, so we'll handle that later. Takes us to our consideration of resolution, election of a vice chair.
I move Kurt Olsted here, vice chair of this case. An outstanding job. He's our senior most member, office of Tracy, and I just want to let him continue that path. So I'm going to nominate Kurt Olsted here, vice chair.
I'll second.
Any other nominations? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis. Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richter.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember T. Fang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes. Takes us to our next resolution, election of treasurer.
Nominee Robert Holtway.
Thank you. Need a second, please?
Second.
We have a second. Any other nominations? See a number. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted.
Yes.
You can go back to bed now.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis. Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Rod.
Yes. That takes us to the Executive Director's Report, Ms. Nordstrom.
First of all, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
I have a few things I wanted to highlight for you. On plan conformance implementation, Bethlehem Township adopted their zoning map amendments. We deemed them consistent. Tewksbury Township adopted their Highlands Land Use Ordinance, which we deemed consistent. Sparta Township also adopted a checklist ordinance, which we deemed consistent. And an exemption determination authorization was adopted and a certificate was issued. Pohatcom Township, an exemption determination authorization was adopted by the municipality. Which takes us to municipal issued exemptions. Environ Township, one exemption was issued for an exemption 4. Califon, one was issued for an exemption 5. And my town apparently is very active because they issued 45 exemption 5s as well. On the regional planner front, we've interviewed candidates for regional planner. We have selected one and we'll have made an offer to him. And we're waiting to hear if he will accept that offer. Hopefully we'll have him for next month's meeting. And I think Councilmember Bowden will also touch on this, but we have upcoming public outreach sessions. The first one will be on February 4th at Freedom Madison Arboretum. The second one is on the 9th at the Warren County GoTech, and the 11th is Passaic County College. So we hope that if you can make one close to you or not, you're more than welcome to come.
The Warren campus.
Okay.
It's on Patterson.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thank you. For those who helped us get those venues, thank you.
And I send the bill.
No bills. Thanks.
Okay. And that concludes my report.
Thanks, Ms. Orser. That now takes us to committee reports. First up is landowner equity and land preservation. Do you have anything, Rob, or do you want Margaret to go through the open space aspect?
I've got a couple things to bring up.
Okay.
We've been at this a good long time, and we wish we had some more substantive results to report, but we are very close to the end, we believe, of developing a substantive recommendation for generating revenue to fund a compensation for farmed landowners. We have quantified the amount of water that's being taken from the Highlands region on a utilities basis, so we know how much each major utility, each water authority, every municipal utility is taking from the Highlands region. And that will be the basis for developing a fee, a surcharge on that water, which will then, the goal is to have that money be used for landowner compensation. Of course, we then will recommend that hopefully to the legislature, and then we'll see. We are understandably modest in our expectations with this, but we feel that this is what the Highlands Council needs to do at this point. That's about where we are. So probably about a month away or so, I would say. I've been very pleased with the cooperation of my colleagues on the committee. We all have different perspectives on this act, and we've all been able to work together very, very well for the common goal of compensating farm landowners. So I just want to compliment my colleagues for the work on this and our staff for putting up with my demanding ways in those meetings every so often. So, Margaret, you have some other news on the open space program?
Yes. I mean, one of the things that we're going to contemplate tonight is the our open space rule. But I wanted to talk about a couple of things that we're going to be asking you to think about and talk about at next month's meeting. And as we go forward with the rule in our open space program, we have to make a couple of practical decisions on how to roll the program forward.
I know you sent down an amended agenda with it on here. We are not taking action on this tonight.
We're not taking action on that. But
not put out soon enough. But I would like to have dialogue today so we're all prepared to, we can have a special meeting either next week to move forward. So now is still the time to participate.
Right.
I can barely hear the meeting at all. I don't know how anybody else is.
I can lean into the, how's that?
Yeah.
Okay, now I can't read my notes, but that's all right.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of static on this line. Maybe they could take a look into that. Same thing every time I've called in.
Okay.
So it's very difficult to hear all of it, especially when multiple people are speaking.
Some of the things that we to think about, and we've talked about this one before. We have about $19 million to spend in our open space program. We had talked about spending $9 million for the first round, and that seemed to be agreeable to everybody. But that's something we need to solidify as we move forward. We had a couple of other things, like the account is generating interest. We're recommending that money be used for any outside administrative costs, like closing cost reimbursement under the HDC purchase program. And we're also recommending such things that money that we got as a result of the DEP enforcement funding be used for the HDC purchase program, as their use is restricted to the preservation area. So we'll have a memo for you guys to look at and vote on next month, I hope. But you can start contemplating it now, and it'll be ready for discussion in a month. As we said, we have the resolution on the agenda. We're not going to be voting on it tonight. We're hoping to schedule a special meeting to vote on it next week because we really want to keep this time frame moving. But we thought in the interest of kind of bringing you up to speed on where we are. We tell you about the rule and some of the minimal changes that were made to the rule as a result of public comment. So I'm going to let James fill you in on that. I have to say right now that James has done a superlative job. He's worked really, really hard on moving this thing forward, and I just wanted to personally thank him in public.
Thank you. So we had a 60-day public comment period. We received 214 comments from 23 commenters in both written and oral format at the public hearing. We went through all those comments and summarized them and combined them where appropriate, and then responded to each comment. We made some changes based on the comments we received, and I'll just go through those changes with you. The changes are at the back of the comment response document that was provided to you, and that is outside of the office of the public. The changes were minimal, however, they did respond to some of the comments we received in an important way. The first change is that adding a definition of conservation easement, and that was done basically to make all of the terms deed restriction, conservation easement, development easement that were contained in the rule into one consistent term. So we changed deed restriction and development easement to conservation easement and added a definition. The second thing we did was add a definition of the state of New Jersey, just to clarify who that covers. Another change was to change the wording of ecologically sensitive areas to natural resources, because natural resources is a term that's used in the RMP. So that was a comment we received, and we thought that was a valid comment. That's in two places that's changed. We added that contiguousness to existing preserved farmland is part of the priority. It referred to improved connectivity to existing open space, and the intent of that was to include farmland. However, to make it clear that that's what the intent was, we added that the priority includes contiguousness to existing preserved farmland. One of the major comments we received multiple times was regarding dual appraisal language. In the rule, what we did was we went back and we modified that section to make it clear that we're following the statutes, the dual appraisal statutes. So we amended the language, and you'll see that it just refers now back to the statute. In the same section, it referred to the property owner obtaining those appraisals. That was never the intent, so we changed that to make it clear that the applicant is the one who's responsible for obtaining those appraisals. And the final changes were just some numerical corrections. There were references to various sections that, due to formatting changes along the way, got changed. There's three of those that you'll see. They don't change anything, really. It's just a correction. And those are the changes, based on the comments we received, which were very thoughtful and well-thought-out comments. So we appreciate all the comments we received.
Any comments from council members? Anything else on the rule itself?
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Real quick, the your memo talks about the balance from the executive order 114 and NJD enforcement funding. Round numbers, how much was that in there? Nickels and dimes, or
no? It's actually particularly DEP enforcement.
I think the DEP enforcement money is about $240,000. And the executive order 114 balance, I think, is around $700,000. Yes, a substantial amount. Both of those are restricted preservation area only properties. So in the thought of just making it easier to administer that money so it doesn't get mixed in, if we put that into the HDC bank portion, it can only ever be used in a preservation area.
Okay. Thank you.
So the rule itself has been through all the reviews it's needed to undergo. It's been to OAL, it's been to the Attorney General's office, it's been to the Governor's office. So this is the final vote that this council will be making on the rule, and it's to approve the publication of the rule in the New Jersey Register. So once that's done, then we're live. So, yeah.
It's good news. The committee did a great job in helping get this together, along with staff, and while we recognize it's nickels and dimes compared to the big picture that's needed to compensate landowners. So a couple of nickels and dimes to get things started.
Well, and as you know, we did design the program to be able to accept money from any source. So that leaves the door open for us to try to find
the funds. And the key here is leveraging this money with counties, state, nonprofits to get more money in. So we're hoping this know, doubles at least from a spend perspective.
That's it.
Any other council comments? Seeing none?
I have a question.
Sure.
For Rob. Rob, on the fee, which I support, because I think that's actually a fair way of doing it. But does it get to the legislature? Does it get reviewed by the governor's policy staff first? And can he veto our minutes and block it from going to the legislature before it gets there?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
The answer would be yes. I mean, he could always not suggesting he would or...
Do we have anybody from the policy office here who would indicate whether or not the governor would be willing to allow the legislature?
I don't think that's a fair question. Because there's nothing on the table for discussion.
Bruce, I think that when we do it, we should send it to the governor and the legislature at the same time.
Right. Okay.
Regardless whether or not he vetoes this or not, and I would suspect it, I don't know.
He might, but whatever.
That would not eliminate us as individuals, as elected officials, appealing to different elected legislators and asking them to take this ball and run with it. So whatever path this takes, it's meant to have to be passed by the legislature and put into law and have somebody sign it. Whether that, you know, so it, I think it's the most understated question, unless it's first, it matters in the end.
Right. And I didn't say the question's not even one, I just think it's premature.
That's right. I think it really is. It's got a better chance coming out of here with the bipartisan support.
Well,
just politically.
In my mind, when you pay for water, you're paying for the cost to pump it out of the ground, to transport it through pipes, to have it ferried through different systems to come into your house. And that the price you pay reflects that cost as well as the profit for those for-profit entities that make it. But it doesn't reflect the cost to preserve the land above it to keep that water clean. So if we're going to capture the real cost, that's what this deed will begin to do.
Totally
agree. The cost is to, if you're going to accept the Highlands Act as being good pumps, then the cost to keep this land safe, to keep the water clean, is taking away their ability to develop the land. Well, there's a cost to that. The cost should be fair compensation of these folks. That's what this deed will help to capture.
Totally agree.
And the committee has been working in the Jam Parks and everything.
We also went through the legislators that are involved in the Highlands District to make sure that we know who they are so that they can push also some key contact people that we can get to try and push this income action legislation.
Anything else?
Just one real quick comment. Probably one of the things that should be combined in this is the expect from an engineering standpoint, I expect that the cost of preserving the property in the long term is a lot less than trying to process the water to clean it.
Yes.
When you get down to the nitty-gritty,
exactly.
And it's so much better for the health and well-being of all the water users.
So many other states are processing water.
Yes.
New York City doesn't have to.
Right.
And New York City that water rate so low. Now, somebody's got to pay for that. And these people have to be compensated.
We've got to pay one way or the other.
Absolutely.
There should be paying.
Has been far too long. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move along. That takes us to Plan Conformance Committee. Ms. Nordstrom.
You have a resolution that came out of the Plan Conformance meeting. It's basically very simple. We had a number of towns that, you know, came into Plan Conformance in the planning area and then really didn't move forward with any of their appointed tasks. And after a while, we told them that if they didn't wish to proceed, we would terminate their grant. And that's what happened with a bunch of towns. Now some of the towns want to come back into the process, which is fine. We encourage towns in the planning area to conform. But we wanted to make clear that there are certain rules for doing so, primarily that if they have documents that are obsolete, that need to be updated, that they were responsible for updating those documents themselves, that we would not pay for it. We'd be paying for the same process twice. So that's really what's in the resolution. That's the main thing, because we wanted to make it absolutely sure to the towns that they understood that, and that there was no confusion later on.
Yeah, the issue I had initially when I heard about it was, you know, using the act to your benefit where you wanted to, us pay money, and then they get out, and then they want to help them again, they want to jump back in, we're not going to pay for that.
Yeah, we already paid for the development of the documents initially, so I don't think, you know, from what I understand, that that's towns have a big objection to that. I think they understand the reasoning behind it.
So at this point in time, consideration of resolution guidelines for the municipalities with terminated grants to reapply to the Planning Conformance Grant Program. Can I get a motion, please?
I move the resolution.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. At this point in time, I'll open it up to the public. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution only? Yes, ma'am.
Every single penny of grant money should be going to the landowners. This is an enabling process for municipalities to try to buy them off with a little bit of current funds, to have them play ball with a game that is rigged entirely against them and the landowners. Every single dollar available should be set aside for just compensation to armed landowners.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
My name is David Shoke, and I'm the landowner in the preservation area. One of the consequences of the Highlands Act has been a lot of twiddling of the thumbs of the municipal's professionals, their engineers, their land use attorneys, their planners. They're sitting there twiddling their thumbs, and you're now throwing them a lifeline and with these grants. That's where these grants money go. They go to keep the professionals gainfully employed. Therefore, I'm against it. This is nothing more than make work for the professionals. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this resolution only? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any council comments? Yes, ma'am.
Question. Wondering, what was the response? Have you talked about this resolution or the concept of this resolution with any of the municipalities that do want to come back in? And what was their response?
Well, one of the reasons that we felt comfortable in it at this point is not that we talked to them about the resolution, but they had offered to update the documents on their own.
And everybody pretty much said that's fine. We'll pay for the update on our own.
The one that we think is coming in next is agreed to that.
I mean, my concern just, we don't want to chill.
No, we know
atmosphere.
We don't. Right, you don't, but on the other hand, we don't want to pay twice for the same thing.
No, certainly.
So I think it's a fair compromise, and we'll help them as much as we can, but, you know, they're the ones that didn't move things forward, and they have to accept the responsibility by coming back in.
And, of course, we all know lots of things happen at municipalities. There's change in, you know, who's elected, different, you know. So there's all sorts of things that can happen. They're not all necessarily just sitting on their hands. It could be,
yes,
you know, a change in what's going on in the municipality.
Absolutely.
And that's why they didn't move forward, and now they want to. So yep. We want to welcome them as well.
Absolutely. We agree completely.
Anybody else? Any other council members? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Council Member Alstead.
I think he stepped away.
Oh, did he? Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis. Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richfield.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetic.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefen.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vogel.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Now it takes us to committee report for the regional master plan update, and I believe Mr. Bowden.
Regional master plan update committee met on January 5th, 2016. First topic discussed was the monitoring program recommendation report. Council has scheduled 3 public outreach sessions to provide members of the public with an update on the regional master plan monitoring program and to present the draft indicator. These sessions are not public hearings, but rather information sessions where members of the public are invited to attend and learn more about the process.
Margaret will be providing a brief overview presentation at 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. at each of these sessions. The remaining time will be available for attendees to review materials that will be available at the session and ask any follow-up questions that they may have. Sessions will be held out, and you'll each receive a flyer in your packet. February 4th, 2016, from 7 to 9 at the Freeland Heights and Arboretum in Morris Township. February 9th, 2016, 7 to 9 at the Warren County Technical School in Washington. February 11th, 2016, from 7 to 9 at the Passaic County Community College in Montague. Public notices have been issued for these sessions, and flyers are on the table in the entryway for anybody who can get a packet here. Public hearings will be held on completion of the draft report and indicator analysis. The second topic discussed was the fiscal impact assessment. Council members here have in their packets the full phase two report, the socio-demographic and real estate evaluation of the Highland region. Council members are reminded that this report, as with the phase one report, remain draft and confidential at this time. The full draft fiscal impact assessment report will be made available to the public for comment upon its completion. Secondly, the committee has recognized the complexities associated with the data collection and analysis of the fiscal impact assessment. In order to assist council members and members of the public in its understanding of the reports, the committee is considering holding a working session of the Highlands Council where Mr. Gunnels would further explain the data and analysis used in the fiscal impact assessment. This is my report.
Thank you, Mr. Coach. Anything else on your end? Ms. Nordstrom, on that?
That's it.
Okay. Any comments from council members?
Do we have a timeline for that last meeting that you mentioned?
I'm sorry, Mr. Gunnels, mm-hmm. Please.
The last meeting, you know, we'll be broken out into July.
A work session.
We're thinking April, May. And one of the things that we would like you to think about is what questions you would like to have answered. I had a look at, you know, the document that you were just handed, and that may give you some things to think about if you're, you know, uncertain of how, you know, how the process works or, you know, the terminology. Work session would be a good session to bring it up because at the end of the day you'll be given a final report, which is about 700 pages, I think. That's what we're estimating at this time. And this will serve as a, kind of a way to help guide you through it.
Any other comments or questions on the report? Seeing none, that will take us to our next order of business, which is the public comment period. If you wish to speak on any issue, please raise your hand and be recognized. And a reminder to keep your comments to 3 minutes. Yes, sir.
Thanks for letting me speak here tonight, or this afternoon, I should say. It's nice and warm in here. Thanks again. My name is Hank Plump. I'm a farmer. I own 150 acres in the Unjust Islands Preservation Area. I attended the Agriculture Resource Technical Advisory Committee meeting on December 16, 2015. Perhaps I was expecting too much. After going on 12 years of coming here with concern, I should have known better. Don't expect anything positive. The advisory committee agenda included nothing that was brought up by the Impact Landowners meeting, which met on December 10, 2014. Corey Pisacki led the RPA meeting and had several blackboards with concerns on them, but not one dealt with impacted landowners' concerns. I realized that the RPA is an urban research and advocate organization whose recently incentives included work in East Camden, Newark, Union County, and in the Palisades. Now, RPA prides itself in advanced thinking about the economical value of parks and the importance of large landscape conservation. all I could think of as I sat there was they loved the fact that my farmland has been turned into a park. The first of the proposal two meeting was a review of the proposed indicators under consideration for analysis. RPA reported that after consideration by them, they felt some indicators were found to be false or infeasible or not sufficient to evaluation of the RPM and were excluded from the analysis. A reason for an exclusion is that the indicator does not fit into the RPM goals and policies. Due to concerns expressed that the impact landowners meet fall in the infeasible or false categories. Feasible is a word that both the advisory committee and the Highlands Council likes to use. This council has stated many times that public questions will be answered when determined feasible. Well, I guess nothing I've been asking for going on 12 years has ever been feasible, because I have never received an answer. There is no reason to believe that when the second meeting, TAC 2, takes place, that the concerns of the impacted landowner will be addressed in any way. Now, you may ask, was this matter questioned? Yes, it was. But if you dare question the agenda at the December 16th meeting, you are accused of being out of order or were scolded for it. That's outrageous. When is the injust of the Highlands land value and equity theft ever going to be resolved? Will it happen in my lifetime? Are these questions feasible questions? I will wait to see if I get an answer from you.
Thank you for your comments.
Perhaps. What answer? Unbelievable. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Helen Heinrich, representing New Jersey Farm Bureau. Just wanted to say it's very good to hear the progress that's being made on the land conservation program and the fact that there's a possibility for some more money to come in on it. And also the news of progress on looking into the water feed. Those things are definite progress. No matter what you hear from anybody else, I think the farm community is going to be happy with that.
Thank you very much. Anybody else in public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Constance Stroh. I live in Randolph, and I'm president of the Upper Rockaway River Watershed Association. It has been brought to our attention that there is a plan that's been submitted by the New Jersey Fish and Wildlife Division, and it's titled Sparta Mountain Forest Management Plan. This plan has been developed, as we understand, with a small group of individuals or groups without any public input. The public comment period on the plan has been extended from January 24th to February 16th, but there is still, as far as we know, no scheduled opportunity for the public to be heard at a public hearing on this issue. The Sparta Mountain is in the Highlands, as far as I know. I would think that this council would be concerned about what's being developed for that mountain having to do with extensive removal of old growth forest and providing newer growth of trees to replace them. It appears that this plan is motivated by the desire to make money on the forests by selling off the lumber that can be obtained from cutting these trees. There are a lot of disadvantages to this plan having to do with soil erosion, habitat for rare and endangered species of plants and animals. And so I would like to know whether the Highland Council is going to be involved in this at all in some way, whether you could lobby for a public hearing to be held on this, or some other involvement that you might become participating.
I'm not sure in this particular situation, but this would probably be a local land.
This is Green Acres Forestry.
Falls to the state.
So that's my appeal. I don't know how you can respond to it, but I would like to tell you about it.
Thank you for your comments, but I think you would better serve addressing it to the appropriate organization. I don't believe we would need that organization.
Mr. Chairman,
by Green Acres.
Mr. Chairman, can't we interact, though, with Green Acres? I mean, we do on other issues, so I think what they're asking for is some help.
When we are brought into it, well, by the nature of what we're supposed to do, we're not activists, though.
But we have inserted ourselves in instances where we felt it was important. There was a recent plea for us to get involved with the landfill, and then there was another one having to do with the development on one of the mountains, and we looked into it. I think what she's saying is that they're going to be cutting down a lot of trees, and who looks at this beyond the agency that has developed this plan without public input? So it will affect Highlands resources. Just saying, why can't we step forward?
One thing that I have heard is that they're creating new growth forests for endangered species, especially the golden winged warbler. I believe the Audubon Society was involved in this project. That's why the appropriate agencies are the ones that should be contacted.
What agencies are involved in this? Do we know?
Well, it's under Green Acres program, so I'm assuming it's either local and Green Acres, not the Highlands Council.
Back
to the public. Yes, ma'am.
Wilma Fry, Interested Conservation Foundation. Perhaps I could just clarify this a little bit. This is state wildlife management area under the Fish and Wildlife Service. It is totally in the preservation area. And the proposed plan does not appear to pay any attention to the Highlands rules. And even though what they're claiming to do is to develop a forest management plan, it seems to me that the exemption for forest management plan is primarily for private landowners, and that state agencies should be required to comply with the Highlands rules and the regional and the RMP policies. And this proposal does not appear to be doing so. And it could have very detrimental effects on water supply from logging trucks and skidding and so forth, water quality, as well as destroying old growth forest, which is a pretty, it's not ancient forest, but it's big old trees, destroying a resource which is very rare and pretty valuable in New Jersey as a public resource for values other than its timber board footage.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Post. If there is one thing we have learned from the presidential primaries, it is that there is a lot of anger in our country. From the left and the right, people are gravitating to those who promise to fix our corrupt and dysfunctional government. I empathize with that anger. I am angry. Most Highlands landowners are angry. This council epitomizes the closed-door, biased, rude, and dysfunctional system that has a majority of Americans demanding embedded government be fired. This council spends taxpayer dollars doing nothing. It is a classic bumbling bulwark designed to be a barrier to good government. The TAC process is another Potemkin village and exemplifies the do-nothing while pretending to do otherwise. Even I was surprised by the farcical absurdity of the TAC procedures. The Landowners' Equity TAC demanded that only a dozen or so totally meaningless and irrelevant so-called indicators be addressed. Those indicators had nothing to do with moving forward any plans to provide just compensations to landowners, which should be the sole purpose of the landowner TAC. They were conscious diversions. I will review the indicators. Identify exemptions issued. Who cares? Identify HDCs allocated. This single total has existed in the council's database since the master plan was issued in 2008. Apparently, your staff doesn't even know this. Identify number of HDCs purchased with how much dollar. The answer is on the TDR tracking sheet, which has been posted on the council's website since Swan left. Identify number and total of TDR feasibility grants. Who cares? You don't know how much money you've given away? Every penny of grant money should have gone to landowners, so this indicator is salt in the wound of the lost wound. Identify number of funding sources for TDRs. That's zero. Does anyone here think it's not zero? Number of incentive mechanisms. Why discuss incentives for a program that is unfunded and dysfunctional? Identify HDC transfers due to density increases. This must be zero, as there have been no sales of HDCs, excepting only to the statistically insignificant hardship purchases. Identify the value of the HDC. That figure is in the plan, based on the financial work of Integra Resources. It's $92,000 per HDC prior to the application of arbitrary and capricious discounts. Has no one read the TDR technical report in 6 years? Identify the median value of the HDC. Possibly they mean median trading price of the HDC, which can't be calculated if there is no active trading market, which there isn't. Identify TDR zones. That's zero. Does anyone think it's not zero? For this, you are paying RPA three-figure hourly consulting fees. We kept telling her the HGAC program is broken. There is nothing to evaluate.
Thank you for your time.
But no one would listen.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to hear? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Tom Lorries from Netcom.
Sorry, what's it?
Tom Lorries, Netcom. You may or may not have noticed that I walked in here at 4:35 p.m. and this council started at 4 p.m., correct? That's what I'm here to speak about. It seems to me that a lot of government entities and organizations that are involved in government always seem to have these meetings during the workday, and there seems to be no thought or accommodation for people who may work. I don't know if the other members of the public here are retired or if they work night hours or off hours, but perhaps some thought could be given to staggering days and times of meetings, so more public can attend, or just having them in the evening, like a lot of town councils do, and the county freeholders. Although some of their work session meetings are during the day, other such meetings during the day, at least there's some accommodation for members of the public who would like to attend these meetings. After all, it's our tax money that's being spent, and we talk about being spent at these meetings, and there are policies talked about at these meetings that affect us, the public, so you know, we should have an opportunity to attend the meetings, to find out what's going on, to get to make comments like this, to be able to hear what happened at the meeting before they arrive and make comments, because if this is the time of the meeting all the time, I won't be able to get here until the end of the meeting, the public comments time. So I feel like I'm left out of my opportunity to have an input in my government, or government entities, whatever they may be. And I wonder if there has has ever been any offer consideration.
Actually, we were starting at five, but the board comes from throughout North Jersey. Because of that, we'd like to move it up to 4 o'clock at the request of several members so they can get here and they still get out of here at a reasonable time. Usually, we're not even close to being in a public session by this point in time of the day, so that's a little different. Plus, you can always listen to the previous meetings on the website.
Right, but listening to meetings doesn't mean I'd be able to actually, you know, make comments on what
I was pointing out because you said you weren't able to hear the previous meetings.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
No, that's the end of my comment.
Great, thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
My name is David Shoup, and I think I can explain this the last gentleman's concerns here. I'm 79, Hank is 78. Debbie lives around the corner and can make time and her schedule to come here. Most everybody else, except for the council members, this bunch over here, I suspect a lot of this bunch over here, are paid. They're all paid to be here. So that makes it easier for them. On your resolution where you elect an election of a treasurer, I have a couple comments on that because the last treasurer's report, and many prior to that as well, did not include what this council consumes as rent. Last I heard, it was over $12,000 a month to rent this place. It's paid by the treasurer. It doesn't come out of your budget, but it's taxpayers' money just the same. You have state cars here. The public pays for the state cars, too. The pension overhang, the pension obligation that this council's employees are accruing is not mentioned either. So I would like a complete accounting of what it costs to run this place. I haven't heard it so far. So hopefully the treasurer will include that in his next report. When it comes to land conservancies, the land conservancies are, I consider them basically parasites. If it weren't for our land and their avarice to secure our land in one way or another, generally with donations from places like the Levins Foundation, the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation, the William Penn Foundation, etc., etc., they would not have the money to function. So essentially, when you talk about nonprofits, I'd like a little care and caution before you start to authorize taxpayer money to nonprofits for the acquisition of our land, which provides jobs for them at our expense, both as a taxpayer and to the business values of land acquisition. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Please raise your hand. You've already had your...
Could I just add one sentence since I didn't use all my time? I actually left work early even to get here at this time. So if I didn't leave work early, I would never be able to make
something. Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion.
Motion adjourned.
We have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, wait, before we vote on adjournment, just want to make a request based on Wilma Fry's follow-up comment about the forest management plan on Sparta Mountain, that we could reach out, as the council staff has expertise in this area, we could reach out in a collegial way to Green Acres to find out how they have considered the Highlands Regional Development
Plan. I'll defer to our attorney to
see
whether we should be engaging with other agencies. It's not within our purview.
But we work all the time with other agencies. We have regular meetings with other agencies. If you look at the schedule of our staff, so as a matter of course, why can't we look into how the forest management plan affects
which direction they should go? Are we supposed to advise in which direction they should go?
First, we want to find out if they are applying regional master plan.
Stop them until we have a chance to an opportunity.
We want to find out if they are considering regional master plan regulations.
Not within our purview. We have
no
adjourned.
No, I got a comment.
Yes, sir. Just want to put on the record, I was informed that this meeting was going to go past 6. I knew it was going to be over at 4:45. I probably wouldn't have made it. But I do agree with the gentleman from NECOM.
NECOM, yes.
We in government hold our meetings at 7 o'clock at night, so the public can attend. I know council's not going to vote that way, but I do agree that there's a valid point in the public.
Actually, when I took over this spot, the meetings were at 9 a.m.,
yes.
2 a.m., and
2 p.m.
2 p.m.
2?
9, 2, and 4.
I think it was 11.
They were all daytime meetings. The first thing I did against the GAU's advice was change the meetings to the evening at 5 o'clock.
I understand.
And then the 4 o'clock became an accommodation for some members that were coming from Spartanburg.
I totally understand, but at the same point, he's got a point.
I agree.
Something we should talk about again.
I'm not an elected official anymore, but it would cause chaos because we have about 8 or 9 people that are elected officials. Try to find a night that you guys don't have a meeting. It's going to be impossible.
We've been very successful at our attendance at this meeting.
Yes,
we'll give credit to all for making it.
I'd like to bring up a point, too. We've had a lot of meetings over the last few years that went 3.5, 4, 4.5, 5 hours. If we were to start at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, would we take those meetings, or would we have to the end, or would we have a cutoff time at 11?
There's a lot of give
and
take here.
Accommodate the public.
This is an unusual situation. Sure, yeah. It's done in less than an hour. Very unusual situation. Okay. Okay. Do we have a motion? And a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.